My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from page 252. How speedily God hears the prayer of two or three praying together with a whole heart. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, here I am in the midst of them. St. Matthew says, the Lord himself, our Lord Jesus Christ's purpose for us is to drive away from our hearts falsehood, flattery, pride, and diabolical malice, and to implant in the place of these his truth, love, meekness, and humility. If we were to represent the Lord's image upon every line of space, even then we should not be doing more than enough, because the Lord is actually and wholly present in every smallest and largest space. If we were to imagine and foresee the Lord everywhere, nothing more would be left to desire. We should only be doing justly, for God is ever at our right hand, wherever we may be. The Holy Ghost is called the Comforter, St. John 24, chapter 26, verse. In accordance with his nature, which is peace, joy, and infinite blessedness, and also on account of his action upon the souls of believers, whom he comforts like a mother in their virtues, in their sufferings, sorrows, and sicknesses, and in their great deeds for the faith. He is also called the Comforter in contrast to the evil spirit of despondency that often attacks our souls. Every phenomenon has its cause. Thus, having done any good action, you rejoice and find consolation in your soul. Wherefore? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, who is everywhere present and fills all things, the treasury of blessings, prayer of the Holy Ghost, who comforts us. On the contrary, if you have done anything wrong, you feel a deadly despondency in your soul. Wherefore? Because you have allowed the evil spirits of despondency to take possession of you. For instance, you begin to pray and you are overcome with despondency. Whilst before you began to pray, you did not feel it. Or else you begin to read some book of the spiritual character, for instance, the Holy Scriptures, and you are also overpowered with despondency, slothfulness, doubt, incredulity, and unbelief. Wherefore? Because you are tempted by the evil spirits of despondency, doubt, and unbelief, who are using their craftiness against you. Or you are in the church, attending divine services, but you feel dull, heavy, and thoughtful. Despondency has fallen upon you. Again, wherefore? Because the evil spirits of slothfulness and despondency are using their craftiness against you. Or again, you begin to write a religious work, a sermon, for instance, and you feel darkness and coldness in your heart, whilst your body is overcome with weakness. Wherefore? Because the invisible enemies are warring against you. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to us all in all good works. He is our power, strength, light, peace, and comfort. A visible proof of the omnipresence and of the providence of God is presented to us by vegetation. Where is it to be found upon the terrestrial globe? It covers the plains. It climbs up in the inaccessible heights of rocky mountains. It grows in the deserts. spreads its roots in the waters and amongst the waters upon desert lands. And who is it that gives it growth and adorns it with beautiful varieties of shapes, colors, and flowers? The Lord God. God so closed it. But if God so carefully closes the grass, then shall he forsake and forget man even for a minute? Wherefore, if God so closed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more close you, O ye of little faith? St. Matthew 6, chapter 30, and St. Luke 12, chapter 28, verse. If God at every instant vivifies the grass, and his life does not forsake it, then shall he cease to give life to me? No. If he closes and gives life to the grass, then in me he dwells continually as in his temple. And if I do not voluntarily drive him away by my sins, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Corinthians 3:28. In reference to the temple, we may remark that the angels call a Christian the temple because the Spirit of God dwells in him. This signifies that God dwells continually in Christian temples. Hence the holiness of the temple, hence the reverence due to it, and the action of God dwelling in the temple is very perceptible upon the hearts of those who turn to him in prayer. He shall call upon me, and I will hear him. O words most full of love, O words breathing lively trust into him who prays. Up till now you have not learned to love your neighbor. You answer men's dislike towards you by dislike on your part, but do the contrary. Answer the other's dislike by heartfelt goodwill and love. The more dislike you see towards you, the more you should love. Dislike is a malady, and a sick person should be more pitied, should be shown greater care and greater love, exactly because he is ill. Do you not know that the partyless enemy uses the craftiness against all, infects all with the poison of his hatred? And you too are not exempt from his craftiness. Do not serve him, then, the spirit of enmity, but serve the Lord, the God of love, with the utmost zeal. Remember that God the Word died for your brethren. As the river flows into the sea, so the souls of men should flow towards God. The spiritual and bodily lives go apart, do not accord. This is why we sometimes feel very well bodily, but not in the spirit. You begin to pray, and you find that your heart has become gross. Doubt are waxed fat. Thou art grown sick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, Deuteronomy. And it is difficult for you to pray, though you may be bodily well and strong. As soon as you cease praying, you will again feel easy. But this is a sinful ease. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. St. Matthew 6, chapter 21st verse. Know that those who pray in the temple think of that to which their hearts are attached. If our heart doubts in the life-giving spirit, then there will be no life in us, but sorrow and straitness, and deservedly, for life comes from the spirit, life-giving spirit. The affliction resulting from such doubt is a sure sign that this doubt is a lie and proceeds from the devil, the murderer. Up till now, I have lived in God. I have thought, felt, and been fed by Him. And in the future, I shall also live in Him. I put aside all restless cares and trust in my hope and my breath in Christ. He that believes in Christ as he should do does not allow himself to doubt even for a moment in the truth of that which the Lord has said in the Holy Gospel, in that which is taught by his pure bride, the Church. It is necessary to acquire such steadfastness of heart and faith that it should not, at the least, not for a single moment be shaken of our free will by duplicity, by an inclination towards the opposite side, in order that a Christian should not be like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Our faith in Christ is yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Remember that by believing heartily and steadfastly in Christ, we are saved unto life eternal. Remember that the Holy Church has not allowed a single one of her true followers to perish, but by the grace of God has saved them all. The works of the Savior and those of the Church upon believers speak for themselves. The action of doubt and unbelief is in man's soul, killing his soul and body, also speaks for itself. In the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God is a terrible power, the fear and torment of demons, therefore the demons with all their infernal vials, resist the Spirit of God and blaspheme Him, as the Spirit of God is the saving Spirit, the Spirit of union, love, and peace. Therefore, by every means they oppose the union, love, and salvation of mankind. It is though through them that the separation of the churches unto the Eastern and the Western arose. Observe, this separation arose from the dogma concerning the Holy Spirit. By their efforts again arose the further separation of the Roman West, Lutheranism, Calvinism, and Anglicanism. Through them arose dissents in our Orthodox Church. By the way, ought not needful and beneficial reforms to be introduced into the Church on the account of dissenters? It is necessary to do so, otherwise we shall be marked by the demons. It is possible that we shall allow ourselves to be overcome by their evil. Let not this happen. And therefore the Bible ought to be translated into Russian language, otherwise how many millions are deprived of its riches by reason of its being of the old Slavonic language, not understood by many. Besides this, the demons endeavor by every means to uproot, and have partly succeeded in doing so, faith in the gospel and the Christ Church from the hearts of Christians, which is also blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And they also endeavor by every means to plunge Christians into carnal works and carnal impurity in order that the Spirit of God should not dwell in men, as was the case with the mankind before the deluge. And indeed, Do we not see that men are given over to covetousness, gluttony, drunkenness, and profligacy to an enormous degree? What is this corruption that has fallen upon us? Oh, it will go ill with us, and perhaps very soon the spirits of evil also attack the Holy Spirit in the thoughts and hearts of these separate individuals, shaking their faith in Him. Woe unto us! Let us not blaspheme the life-giving Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of unspeakable love, who makes His intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, chapter 26, verse. Let us ever remember during all our lifetime to worship and praise Him as we worship the Father and the Son with an undivided and equal honor. Let us also honor the universal symbol of faith, this saving guide in the faith for believers of all times and places. Let us not offend, even by a single sort of doubt, the Spirit of God dwelling in us and vivifying us, this fullness of God infinitely loving us as the Father and the Son. We have been all made to drink into one Spirit, Corinthians. From this you see that the Spirit of God surrounds us upon all sides, like water or air. The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Faith is given unto us by the Spirit of God, to another faith by the name of Spirit, says the Apostle. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5, says the same Apostle. How good it is to conquer passions. After the victory, one feels such lightness of heart, such peace and greatness of spirit. Is not the life more than the meat? St. Matthew 25th chapter 40. Immeasurably more, infinitely more. In our soul shines the image of the invisible God, of the Creator of all. I ought not to grudge, not merely anything material, but not even my soul, my life, for the material or bodily, and especially spiritual profit of my brother. By lovingly serving my brother, I serve God Himself. Oh, I feel in my heart this great and sublime truth. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. St. Matthew 25:40. Wherefore, because in the first place every man is in the image of God, and secondly, because Jesus Christ is God and man together, and is the head of the body, His church, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Ephesians 5:30. That is, we are members of Christ. Do not believe your flesh when it threatens to you with weakness, says, during prayer. It lies. As soon as you begin to pray, you will find that the flesh will become your obedient slave. Your prayer will vivify it also. Always remember that the flesh is lying. He who believes in the Savior and feeds upon His body and blood has life eternal in Himself. And this is the reason why every sin occasions painful suffering and disturbance of heart. But those who do not live eternal, and in them drink into iniquity like water, but do not suffer because life eternal is not in their hearts. Glory to the Spirit of God descending from the Father to give life to every creature and filling the whole universe. Glory to Him, our power, our holiness. Glory to Him, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. My carnal nature requires images. Therefore, we rightly and justly make images and reverence them. What else is man himself but a living image of the living God? The Son of God himself is an uniform impress of the Father, showing us the Father in himself. If we ourselves are images of God formed of the soul and body, then why should we not reverence God's saints in their images made with hands? The inscription of the name upon the image means much to the believer. This name is as though it replaces the soul of a person represented on the image. Call upon the name of the saint with your whole soul, and he will hear you and will manifest his miraculous power in the image. The name of the Savior, called upon with faith, works wonders. It drives away the demons, quenches the fire of the passions, heals the sicknesses. The names of the saints, called upon with faith by the grace of God, also works wonders. And what is there astonishing in this? They are all in the Spirit of God, and the life-giving Spirit of God is everywhere present and fills all things. The saints all work wonders by the Holy Spirit, because the one Spirit of God is the Spirit of wonders. Man is a small world. As the soul is in the body, so God is in the world. When the soul leaves the body, it immediately crumbles to pieces. Likewise, when the Spirit of God leaves the world, it will immediately crumble to pieces. The soul is throughout the body, but especially in the heart, and God is throughout the world, but especially in heaven and in the temples. And therefore, recognize at every step the presence of God. Glory to Thee, O Holy, life-giving Spirit, proceeding from the Father and ever resting in the Son, undivided from the Father and the Son. Glory to Thee, Son of God, who castest out devils by the Spirit of God. St. Matthew 12, chapter 28, St. Luke 11, chapter 20. And order is our salvation, sanctifying, teaching, and strengthening us by this same Spirit. Glory to Thee, Father, ever condescending to us in the Son by the Holy Spirit. Glory in the undivided unity. Have mercy upon us. Glory, Trinity. Children, being in images of their fathers and mother, are near to their hearts, but still nearer are men, and especially Christians, the image of God, to the heart of God. And the outward and often inward resemblance of children to their parents reminds us of our inward resemblance to God. Every place is a place of God's presence and sovereignty. Hence it is undoubtedly true that the Lord looks upon us with the eyes of the holy icons as with his own, and can speak to us by the mouth of the holy icons as by his own, also owing to the fact that the Lord is in every place, his cross, his name work miracles. His icons show themselves to be wonder workers and are in every case places of his gracious presence. My thought freely penetrates edifices and their walls, mountains, seas, heaven and earth. By his thought, man is the likeness of the Godhead, which is an infinite and omnipresent spirit. Does not God penetrate and fill all things as the creator of all? Prayer breathes hope, and a prayer without hope is a sinful prayer. Has each one of us a guardian angel? He has, and must have. The nature of the spirit is extraordinarily active and cannot remain inactive, and see this in our soul. The nature of a good spirit necessarily seeks activity and the widening of the circle of this activity and the spreading of the kingdom of truth and good, as on the contrary, the nature of an evil spirit also seeks an activity corresponding to it and the spreading of the kingdom of falsehood and of every evil. We feel ourselves that the demons endeavor by every means to spread the kingdom of evil. And the scriptures too bears witness to this. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. Peter 5:8. How then shall we not admit, in accordance with the common sense, that the angels act everywhere throughout the world, striving to spread the kingdom of good and seeking the salvation of mankind? Oh, how true are the words that joy shall be in the heaven over one sinner that repenteth, St. Luke 25:7. And that as there is a devil near every man, so likewise there is an angel near every man. As we clearly feel the presence of the one, so we also feel the presence of the other. Although through self-love, we are in the habit of ascribing all good thoughts, feelings, dispositions, and intentions to ourselves and not to our guardian angel. Would the number of the guardian angels be sufficient for every person to have a guardian angel? Abundantly sufficient. When the Apostle Peter threw himself with a sword upon the high priest's servant in order to protect his master and Lord, then the Lord said unto him, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? St. Matthew 26:3. This signifies that the Lord ever has abundantly sufficient angels to protect every man, and above all, to protect the incarnate Son of God. We also know that an angel of God appeared to the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him. Angels come and ministered unto him. St. Matthew 4:11. After the 40 years, the 40 days fast, and the temptations in the wilderness, the infant Savior's guardian angel appeared to Joseph in sleep and ordered his movements. Holy Spirit, living personal, ruling, living bound to the Father and Son, have mercy upon me. Holy Spirit, giving life to and uniting all creation, and above all, to reasonable creatures, powers of all creatures, have mercy upon me. When praying, a man must lay aside every worldly care and only care for the salvation of his soul. We must trust in God in all temptations and all desolate conditions of the soul. The Lord will deliver. What a unity of being there in the three persons of the Godhead. The Son does not do anything without the Spirit, nor the Spirit without the Father, nor the Father without the Spirit and the Son, but all act conjointly. It is not thus with men. Sometimes he works by the mind without the heart's participation, owing to which his deeds are often soulless. This discord is the consequence of sin. The three strangers, Abraham too, fulfilled the will of the third. I think how all perfect the Godhead is. What an infinite fullness of life there is in it. God the Father begat from himself the creative word and sent down the creative spirit, and they supremely fulfilled the will of the Father as the man's hands fulfill that which the head thinks and the heart desires. Wonderful art thou, our God, creating all things by thy personal word and accomplishing all things by the personal spirit. What a fullness of life! Both the Son and the Spirit are equally almighty, as the Father and the Son are one mercy and love, one will, one power, one Godhead and kingdom. What fullness of life! Both the Son is the Creator and the Spirit is the Creator. Why? Thy hands, the Son of the Spirit, have made me and fashioned me. What unity! Neither does the Son do anything without the Spirit, nor the Spirit without the Son, but together they accomplish the will of the Father, the three forming the one. Therefore, whether you find the Son acting, there also the Spirit and infallibly acts with the Son, also the Father, from whom and to whom they rise. I glorify the might of the Father and the Son, and him the power of the Holy Ghost, the undivided, uncreated Godhead, the consubstantial Trinity, reigning unto the ages of ages. Stichiris and Sunday. Lord, our Savior, thy divine greatness consists in the fact that the life of every creature is in thee, as in the hypostatic life, that all men should honor thee, even as they honor the Father. St. John 5:23. Thy greatness, life-giving Holy Spirit, consists of the fact that thou sanctifies, strengthens all, and livest together with the Father and the Son, and all men shall honor thee, even as they honor the Father and the Son. Thy greatness, Holy Ghost, lies in the fact that the only begotten Son of God, being consubstantial with thee, created powers and wonders by thee, and likewise through thee sanctifies, strengthens, and guides us to his Father. Through him we both have access to the one Spirit and to the Father. Ephesians 2:18. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. St. Matthew 12:31. He who denies the personal being of the Holy Spirit, especially he who was himself many times a receiver of the Holy Ghost, blasphemes against him, and unless he amends, he shall not be forgiven either in this world or in the next. Life-giving Holy Spirit, Spirit of grace, have mercy upon us. Those who pray little are weak in heart, and thus, when they wish to pray, their hearts become enfeebled, also their hands, body, and thoughts, and it is difficult for them to pray. It is necessary to overcome oneself, to strive to pray with a whole heart, for it is a good and happy thing to pray with a whole heart. Trust in the intercession of the Mother of God, of the angels and saints, in the form of Christian hope. They are powerful in intercession for us, both by the grace of Christ and by their own virtues. we do not pray to them in vain. Though their or through their intercession we trust to obtain mercy, the forgiveness of sins and salvation, as well as temporary blessings, such as, for instance, as health, the sanitary salubrity of the air, deliverance from misfortunes and sorrows, by praying in the Spirit and by the Holy Spirit to the Savior, to the Father, to the angels and all the saints, our prayer will become ardent and tears will stream from our eyes, sweet and happy tears. Glory to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And what a comfort he is to the soul. The Savior and Creator, two persons and Godhead, the one ever saves from sins, and the other comforts him who is saved. Their very names are taken from their deeds and are always actually justified. He comforts, the Holy Ghost comforts the believing soul as a mother comforts her child. Amen.